Have fun, guys. I always love when God orchestrates things where the stuff just lines right up. Essentially, the songs we sang this morning say what I'm about to say. So I just want to challenge you as we go through this morning that you would just try to make those connections between what we were just singing and what we're going to talk about this morning. Would you guys pray with me? Lord God, as we just sang, we pray that your Spirit would just change the atmosphere. Not just in this room, but in each and every one of us. Lord, open us up to be challenged by you this morning. In your name we pray. Amen. I'm having a hard time believing that it's already week 8 and the end of our Tangible Kingdom series. It feels like it went really fast. I don't know if that's the case for anybody else, but it is for me. But it's really been exciting to see what God's been doing in our church and individuals through this series, through this study that we've been doing. And as part of our wrap-up of this, I want to take a few minutes and kind of jump back. If you guys remember the rhythms from week 5 in your books, one of those rhythms was celebrating together. And so as part of that, because that's so important for us as a community to share stories of what God is doing in us and to be able to celebrate that together, I've asked a few people who have been impacted by this study that we've been doing to come and just share a little bit of what God has been doing so that we can celebrate together as we just watch what he is doing. So I'm going to invite those couple people that agreed to share something to come on up. I'm just going to ask you to use the pulpit mic because I don't have a cordless one up here this morning. So I didn't give you an order, so whoever wants to go first, feel free.
Good morning. Out of this series, the big emphasis that I took away was the fact that I need to open up our home to guests in the business of life. I cherish going home after predominantly working. My big field is at United Refining where I work. And so after decompressing, I really cherish that space at home. And yet I realize that, you know, I'm being selfish and I need to stretch myself and I need to open that space up and I need to interface with others. And one of the big phrases I've been using with people is that relationships are messy. You know, really to dig in hard to a relationship, to sacrifice a friendship, to share truth, it's emotionally messy and can bring strife. Not necessarily outward, but in your prayer time with the Lord. You're apprehensive when you share about what's going to happen. And yet you have to be out there on the edge and put that relationship out there to be able to speak into it and to strengthen it. Because when you're acting on what the Holy Spirit wants you to do, you don't have to fear. So that's been it for me. Thank you.
Well, I'm on the other side of that. I'm always out of the home doing all kinds of stuff. But some of the stuff that was really hit me with this Tangible Kingdom that we really sang today is, do we spend enough time in the presence of the Lord to receive what we need to say to the people we're out there interfacing with? And when we talk about having the power in us, I don't know about you, but I haven't raised anybody from the dead this week. But yet, we have that same power in us. And yet, sometimes we're afraid to just even say, well, God bless you. Or to speak those words of encouragement, or to stop and pray for that person right then and there, no matter what else is going on. And we'll work up to raising people from the dead.
Morning. I'm going to probably repeat some of the things that those folks have already said, but every Sunday morning when I'm sitting in pew number 8 there, when Pastor Doug or Pastor Steve or Jim or any of our other leaders get up here and they talk about unpacking something, I like to hear that, because then it reminds me that, you know, hey, they're going to unpack it. They're going to explain it to me in terms I can understand. They're going to hand it to me. What am I going to do with it? And, of course, we have to, after they unpack it and explain it to us, we have to take it and pack it and put it into our lives and put it into use. And that's the way I kind of looked at this whole program was, you know, what am I going to take from this and what are we going to try to use? And I guess there were two things that I basically got from this once I boiled it all down. First of all, it was a really, really neat team forming exercise. We were led by Don, our group, and I went in there only knowing 3 people, one of them being my wife, and I didn't know 5 other people that were in that group. And through this course, it was a very diverse group. We all came from very different areas of life and had different experiences. And I think it's pretty safe to say we're practically family at this point. Don, I think I can speak for the entire group when I say we all really genuinely enjoy each other. And I don't know how that would have happened otherwise. So that was really cool. The second thing is, I think the whole crux of the whole thing was to be more Christ-like. Christ-like in meeting the needs of other people. And I kind of put that into four different buckets. Where I'd never had thought about it, you know, in that kind of depth before. We need to make sure that we're meeting the needs of people within our own church community, which there's thousands ways of doing that. And then the other 3 were all outside of our church community. The first one being through planned, intentional programs, and examples of that would be like when the youth went down to the north side of Pittsburgh and administered to the people on the streets. Another example would be the work that you guys have done in the Dominican, and another example would be like the shoeboxes that are being done right now, and Christmas in the County, which, shameless plug, the tree will be up next week with angels on it for you to take. And that, if someone doesn't know about that, that's where we get we buy Christmas presents for the children of Warren County Jail inmates. So, and a lot of those families are, you know, don't have the kind of resources to do that. The other 2 buckets were being more Christ-like and helping people out in the other communities that we're in. The community that is the neighborhood where we physically live, our neighbors. The community that is the people we work with. And all of you have to admit, we're all part of that one community in North Warren called Walmart. There's always opportunities to meet people that you don't know and to see people you haven't seen for a long time in Walmart. And then the last bucket is that one that they kind of referenced earlier. You got to be prepared for those situations that God interrupts your day with. You have to be ready for those, and those are really the coolest of all, because you can see God's hand in them. You have to be ready to just jump through that window when he opens that up, and it's extremely humbling because, again, you know, you can see his hand in it. So to sum it up, I guess, you know, we need to keep continuing to create opportunities for God to work by plugging in and packing that stuff that we're being taught. And then secondly, like Pastor Steve says, we need to celebrate what's already going on. God's already using this congregation in hundreds of ways, if not thousands of ways, and you just We just don't see it because he's very subtle about it. So, thank you.
Think Sam was just sucking up because it was his parents? On the Walmart front, I ran into my neighbor yesterday, and she said she was headed up to Wegmans. And she was like, I just got to get out of Walmart once in a while. But thank you guys for sharing. It's really good to hear and see what God has been doing. And I really hope that through what we have been doing, that some new things have just been showing up in your lives. Some new concepts are clicking for you. That God is really doing something. Because that's what he wants to do. He wants to do work in us. I hope that you're beginning to understand the high calling and responsibility of living missionally and incarnationally, of what God is pushing us to do. It's really easy for us to get caught up in the obstacles of our lives, like work and health and family sometimes, and finances and pressures and problems and just plain being tired. It's really easy to let those things get us caught up. But it's really important to remember that you can be missional and incarnational anywhere. It doesn't just happen in specific places in specific ways. It's anywhere in so many different ways. And it's not another thing to just add to your life. It's just a different way of living, a different way of looking at things. If you see it as another thing to add to your life, you're never going to make it. It just won't happen. There is something just more fundamental about it. It's central to who you are. It's part of your identity in Christ. I grew up playing basketball. I know that's a shocker to a lot of you that I played basketball. But our coaches drilled us with fundamentals. Practice wasn't about learning to do fancy stuff. In fact, if we did fancy stuff, we usually got in trouble. It was focused on getting to the fundamentals, like our shot form, our dribbling, our passing, our teamwork, our free throws. That was a big one. Our free throws. Because if we didn't grow in those areas, we couldn't become better players. And we certainly weren't going to be successful as a team. And our hope through this series has been that we can help us all get back to the basics and see where maybe we missed something in the fundamentals, or we're sort of doing it, but we're off. But kind of getting into those fundamentals, that core of what makes us grow and what helps us work as a team. This series is about transforming us, about giving us a new perspective, about helping us to see the calling that God has placed on our lives. And it's really easy for us to get off track until we understand that all of this is at the core of who we are as Christians. We're simply kind of stunting our growth potential. And that goes back to almost exactly what Pastor Doug was saying back in week one when we started this whole thing. That if we simply focus on our personal growth, which is a very important part of growing spiritually, but if we just stop there, we're capping where we can go. It has to be twofold. Our personal growth of knowing Christ, but also making Christ known. And making these concepts habitual, making them our second nature, just that they come out naturally in the way we live, is getting us into this thing called the intuitive life. Intuition, I know what we all think of as soon as we hear the word intuition, but intuition just generally is, it's a direct perception of truth or fact or, you know, fill in the blank. But independent of any reasoning process. It's not like, you know, you just know something, you expect something, like, without any reason for knowing it. It's just built into you. The intuitive life is learning to live by faith and to be led by the Spirit. Because, as you all know, life isn't logical. It just happens. But how are we moving through that? Are we being led by the Spirit? Are we living by faith? Are we letting Him drive that intuition to guide us and direct us? As we learn to be led by the Spirit, it takes willingness to listen and respond when God directs us. And that doesn't just happen overnight. It takes time to get in step with the Spirit, to recognize God's voice. We have to spend time listening to His voice in order to learn what His voice sounds like, so that we can hear it when He calls. Our books that we've been using for the study, the primers, asked us this week to do a little bit of a study of the work of the Spirit in our lives. And it gave a list of verses to look through. And I just kind of want to flash through those verses real quick. We're not going to take time to read every word in the verses. They'll be up on the screen if you want to write down the passage, or it's in your book if you have your book and you didn't already look at all these verses more specifically. You can just write them down or something. But I just want to look through them real quick and just highlight the things that the Spirit does as we look through these passages. So the first passage is John 14. In this passage, we see He's our helper. It says, to be with you forever. And then you jump down and it says, for He dwells with you and He will be in you. He is a helper that lives inside of us. And He will be with us forever. That's pretty powerful stuff. John 14:26 again says He's our helper. That shows up in a bunch of these verses. It says He will teach you all things. And He brings to your remembrance all that I've said to you. He teaches us stuff. And He keeps reminding us all the stuff that Jesus said. All the stuff that Jesus taught. John 15:26 says He will bear witness about me. He's just going to keep telling us more stuff about who God is, about who Christ is. John 16, He will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. He will guide you into all the truth. He will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, for He will take what is mine and declare it to you. There's so many things the Spirit does. Romans 8, the Spirit of God dwells in you. We say He lives in us. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to Him. He gives us belonging. He gives life to your mortal bodies. He fills us with life. And in the process of filling us with life, He also puts to death the deeds of the body. And then at the end of that verse, it's because of Him that we are sons of God. He makes us children of God. 1 Corinthians 2, Spirit searches everything. He comprehends the thoughts of God. And then He helps us understand the things that God's freely given us. We are taught by the Spirit. And He helps us interpret those things that we can't understand. And then the last verse, Galatians 5. The desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. He desires to get rid of those things that he's crucifying. He makes it so that we are not under the law. And he crucifies the flesh. Isn't it incredible all of the things that the Spirit does? And I'm sure this isn't even close to an exhaustive list of the role of the Spirit in our lives. But think about all this stuff. He helps, reminds, convicts, teaches, leads, empowers, counsels, reveals. Guess what, guys? The pressure is off. All this stuff that we've been talking about, we think this is the stuff God wants us to work really hard at doing under our own power, but it's not. He wants to help us do it. He lives in us. And he does a lot of this stuff for us. But we have a big problem. There's a bunch of things in our life where the volume is too high and we can't hear him. We're at this stage in our house where having a conversation is just about impossible. Because there are three very specific someones whose volume is too high to hear what we are trying to tell each other, or to even hear what we're thinking in our heads that we're trying to tell each other. We have these things in our lives where the volume is just overwhelming us, and we can't hear what the Spirit is trying to tell us to do. Because those things are overwhelming our thought process. They are overwhelming our lives, and we can't hear them. And last week, Pastor Doug said something that really stuck with me, and I kind of want to, in the terms of Jeff, unpack it a little bit more. But he said, basically, that we need to determine whether our lives are focused on things that have eternal value. There's a lot of things where the volume is too high that are not focused on eternal value. And we need to determine what things we need to turn down. It's so easy to get caught up in always saying yes. And just filling our lives up with this stuff that just overwhelms us and we can't hear the Spirit. If that's a pattern that you've developed, you've made it hard to hear God when he wants to use you. Or you hear him and you're just simply too tired to tell him yes. Because you've been doing too much. I remember something that my youth pastor said to me when I was in youth group. He was talking about, like, he's saying our lives are like books. If you look in a book, every book has some margins around the words. Those are built in on purpose. Because if every ounce of that page was filled with words, it would just seem overwhelming and too hard to read. It would just be too much clutter. Those margins are built in on purpose, but here's the problem. We have filled the margins in our lives with so much stuff that it's just confusing and cluttered, and there's just too much there. So sometimes the things that need turned down don't just need turned down, they need cleaned out. To create more space in our lives so that this doesn't just become something that doesn't fit on the page. All of these concepts of missional and incarnational and community living out, like, it should be in the body of the page, not in the margins. And we need to keep those margins so that we don't feel too busy to say yes when those interruptions show up on our way. You know, when something pops up that God is saying, hey, here's an opportunity, you can do this. We need to have space in our lives so we can say, yeah, I can do that. I can stop and help this person. I can stop and do this. Instead of being like, I really got to be somewhere in about 30 seconds. I don't have time for this. We got to create space. Got to clear out the margins. You know, how can you make room for building relationships with people that you're rubbing shoulders with? How can you share a meal with people that you're trying to reach out with, like once a week? Or, you know, how can you actually slow down enough to rub shoulders with people if you don't have any space in your life? If there's just too much stuff taking up all your margins or overwhelming you because it's just too loud? So I want to ask you guys a question that you may not want to answer. What is the Holy Spirit telling you to say no to in order for you to be able to engage missionally and incarnationally with the people around you? What is He asking you to say no to so you can have those relationships and those meals and rub shoulders with people that He is calling you to reach? What needs turned down? What needs cleaned out? On the flip side of that is another question. What is the Holy Spirit calling you to say yes to in order to be His missional servant, in order to go on mission for Him? That's what He's calling us to. And it's what He called the early disciples to. After His crucifixion, He appeared to His disciples. First of all, super crazy way. They're in a room. The room is locked. There's no way in. And He just shows up in the room. That's pretty cool. But then He says to them in John chapter 20, verses 21 and 22, He says, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you." I am sending you. And when He had said this, He breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit." He said, "I am sending you." And He didn't just stop there. He said, "I'm sending you with help. Receive the Holy Spirit." Jesus had just been raised from the dead. And He is releasing to them that same power that raised Him from the dead. We have God's Spirit living inside of us. So guess what? We have that same power too. He has called us to go on mission by putting flesh on Jesus again. Putting flesh on the full story of the gospel to do it through community. He has called us to live out by leaving our comfort zones, by listening to people, by living among them, by loving them with no strings attached. He's called us to invite in simply by rubbing shoulders with people and doing life with them and living our life around them. And all of this starts to fall into place when we are living as apprentices of Jesus. When we are following closely with Him, trying to learn how to live like He lived, and putting it into practice. And this all starts to flow and become our second nature and get us to a point where it is just intuition to just hear the Spirit and do it. It just becomes this natural second nature for us. So easy. And it's really easy to hear all of this and get overwhelmed and feel like it's impossible to pull off. Because it sounds complicated. It sounds really hard. It sounds like it's adding so much to our lives. But the pressure's off. Because we have the power of the Holy Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead living inside of us. And He helps and He teaches and He convicts. And He empowers, and He counsels, and He reveals. We need to turn down the volume on some stuff so we can hear Him. He's speaking to us, He's teaching us, He's guiding us, He's helping us. But some of the stuff in our lives is just too loud. We can't hear them. Or we just filled the margins so much that we didn't leave any space for fulfilling the calling. Through his power, this calling can become our second nature. And we can make decisions just naturally based on being on mission. As the worship team comes up and we do the closing song this morning, I really want to encourage you to ask God to reveal to you the things that you need to turn the volume down on, the things that you need to say yes to, the things that you need to say no to. What have you been filling your life with that is crowding him out? Some of the things he may show you may be extremely hard to turn down the volume on. Some of them may be really hard to get rid of. We have things that we hold on to in our lives. What is he asking you to give space to him instead of? But here's an important thing to add real quick. Some of what he shows you may even be that you can be on mission in the things you're already doing. You just haven't been listening for the opportunities in those situations to be on mission. It might not be getting rid of something. It might just be doing it different. One example that showed up in the book, and I thought this was phenomenal. He said a lady in their church came up to him. This is Hugh Halter, the author of the novel or book. It's not actually a novel. They came up to him and said, "This is all really great stuff, but I'm already doing this, 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 and this for the church. I don't have time to go do all this stuff." And one of those things was an exercise class, like a yoga class or something at the church. And he said, "Well, why don't you just teach that at the gym instead of at the church?" She started thinking, he was like, "Same people can go." And she starts getting really excited. And she's like, "Yeah, and there's a coffee shop right next to that place where we could have a Bible study after the yoga class." And she just started to get super excited about how this wasn't as complicated as she thought it was. She was already doing some really great things and just needed to do them a little bit different. So it's not completely about getting things out of our lives, because there are things in our lives that we can't get rid of. But how can we turn those into an opportunity to be on mission for Christ? How can we be like Jesus with the people Jesus would have been with? You may not think you can do this, but you don't have to. He does, and he can. Let's pray. Lord God, please just start to do a work in us where you show us the things that we need to turn down or clean out just to make some space for you, Lord God, so we can hear you. Just quiet our lives so we can hear you and follow you. Lord, show us how we can be on mission for you, whether it's in new ways or just in the things we're already doing. Lord, my prayer is that this isn't just a cool 8-week study that we did together as a church, but that it transforms us and puts us on mission so that we can live out the calling that you have put on our lives. Lord, open us up to the work you want to do in us. In your name we pray. Amen.